Hello, lovely toasters. Welcome back. Here we go again. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. My guest this week is Mark Bittlestone. He is a very funny man. He's excellent on Instagram. And guess what? He's also brilliant on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Don't forget, as ever, drop us a little cheeky subscribe over at YouTube, youtube.com/@mymateboughtatoaster. There's videos going up there all the time if you want to see this audible show realised in a visual fashion. All right, enjoy the show. Mark is wonderful. I think you're going to love this one. Hello, welcome back. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster. This is the show that tells its guests' life story via their online purchase history. Today, I am absolutely really reaching deep into the Amazon purchase history of Mark Bittlestone. Hello, comedian, Instagram superstar, Mark Bittlestone. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's very exciting to be on. It's quite a little bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah, your body language was communicating something totally different. Yeah, I'm well, and now I'm going to do the most, a stress shift.
Just changing slightly so we can have some eye contact.
Eye contact will help.
Yeah, it would be nice.
It's important that we have eye contact as I do this. So, Mark, I've gone straight into your Amazon account, and I've gone back to the first thing you ever bought.
Oh, wow, amazing.
Okay. So, do you know what year that was?
How old am I?
Here we go.
I feel like it probably something like 2008.
Not bad. Yeah. Very close, in fact. Late 2007.
Wow. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And I reckon I was, in some ways, I was a bit of a nerd. In other words, I was really cool. No. I was mainly, I think it will be a book. Is it a book?
Okay. So you're thinking quite sort of academic or intellectual, maybe. Something a bit niche, non-mainstream. Are you that kind of guy?
This is really basic and mainstream, isn't it?
I'm so setting you up. You can see what I'm doing. Just putting you into this position. I'm teeing you up.
Oh, no.
So tell me, first of all, before I reveal the first thing, tell us who this person is. Who is the Mark Bittlestone in December 2007? How old are you? What are you doing? Where are you living? Give us some context.
Yeah, I'm like 14.
Wow.
I'm living in Wimbledon, southwest London.
Yeah.
I'm at school, obviously.
Great, cool.
Yeah.
Doing subjects.
Yeah, doing all the subjects.
Okay.
Bit of a nerd. Mm. Yeah.
Do you have many friends?
Yeah. I mean, look, I went to like I had a very privileged upbringing, went to private school. So like I was a nerd, but also, yeah, like fine, you know, having a good time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think you were having an excellent time on the 18th of December. And I think you did have enough friends because you bought Friends, the complete season 1 to 10.
Wow.
So that is 30 discs.
Wow.
Of Monica Chandler et al.
That's so unbelievably basic.
It's quite basic. It's £108.
Jesus.
Well, right.
Fucking hell.
I know.
Me earlier being like, yeah, I'm quite a privileged upbringing. Yeah, fucking hell. You can drop £100 on a Friends box set. I feel like I bought that for my brother.
Yes. Well, it's a Christmas thing.
Yeah.
Older brother, younger brother?
Older. Middle brother, Matt, I think I bought it for.
It's so good. And it's so it's such good comfort viewing, Friends. And there's a reason, like Netflix tried to take it off, I think, because they couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And there was this sort of uproar.
Protests.
Yeah, this riot. Everyone's presumably gathering, I guess, around a fountain somewhere with umbrellas and furniture. But people get addicted to this show and shows like it. And I don't think it's because of the jokes. The jokes are the entry level.
Yeah. You find the characters really warm. You relate to them. Yeah. It's funny that we, like English versus American sitcoms, where like, if I'm depressed, I will not watch The UK Office or I'm Alan Partridge or Peep Show. I will watch Friends or Modern Family or The US Office because they are so warm and like uplifting in the way that like English sitcoms, which maybe those three in particular, perhaps you would say like critically possibly are better, whatever that means, but like they just really drag your soul down.
That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Do you think depressed America, do you think it sort of flips and depressed Americans watch Only Fools and Horses? Like,
definitely that one.
I wonder how
would have idea what any of the characters are saying.
I love it so much.
I love it. You know, we love the royal family.
Exactly. Is that their royal family? Yeah. No, it's not the actual royals.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true, though. It's an escapism thing. It's an escape. That's what we're doing. Okay, well, there you are. Look, we're underway.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't have pegged that as my first. And obviously, like, within 5 years, sadly, 100 quid down the drain because obsolete in the world of streaming.
Yeah. That's £100. Oh, do you know where those DVDs are now? Are they long since gone?
They'll be gone, yeah. They'll have been, yeah, given away or something. So very sad.
It's very yeah. You see how what we've done as British people, we've taken the life-affirming love of the world of Friends and we've made it quite sad.
Yeah.
And just a bit, it's just going to go on the landfill and that's a waste of my money. We've anglicised it.
Yeah, sad to know where that is now.
Let's move into 2008 now. Mm. Okay. You've bought a toasty machine.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's good though, isn't it? 15.
You bought two, which is weird.
Yeah.
You've bought two four slices, so you've got...
Yeah. I don't know what that's about. All I do know, again, a lot of these are based on my brother. Mm-hmm. My brother was obsessed with toasties as a teenager.
Right.
He had a very limited, range of things he liked.
Yeah.
I don't know why I bought two, though.
Is it just you're the one with the Amazon account? So you're the sort of family PA. That's the impression I get now. Is that still you now? Are you quite well organised?
Not my siblings are all hyper, organised in a way. And right. more like stressy people.
Oh, really?
Like, I love them. They're all great. But
no, go on, slack them off. They don't have time to watch podcasts.
Oh, there's not a chance. No. Yeah. With love and respect to the pod.
Of course.
They won't even come and watch me in the biggest gigs of my career, let alone.
So what are your siblings doing now then? Tell me.
They are sort of all loosely in the world of, I don't know, business broadly.
Oh, finance people.
Yeah. Finance and that would have been true a couple of years ago, but my sister has now started a charity.
Oh, right.
Called Solve, that is about reducing pollution on the school run in London.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
I'm on board with that.
I'll give you the
I love your sister. Can we get her on instead of you?
Definitely okay. Get her on. Her Amazon history will be fucking mental because she's got three young kids, which will be loads of,
Yeah. So quite interesting siblings. How does that... Were you the youngest then?
Yeah, exactly.
See, I'm the youngest as well. Yeah. Of course. I was going to be a stand-up and a show-off.
Yeah.
When did you get the calling? When did you first... When did the God first come into your head and say, waste your life on stage?
Yeah, probably 2017, 16, 17. Yeah. I was like, oh, let's give this a go. And then, we're still here.
Still here. Doing very well, I'm afraid.
Well, I don't know.
It's faintly annoying when you start to do well because you're ugh.
Yeah, I should keep... It's annoying because it's like, I've done well enough such that it's not embarrassing to keep going.
Mm. Oh God, that's the worst. And it's embarrassing to keep going and you turn up and you know that your peers are going, oh gosh, he's still here. Isn't he?
Yeah, but it's also, it's actually embarrassing to stop.
Yes.
You've built so much of your identity around it.
Yes.
I mean, look, I do genuinely love doing it. So it's not like, I'm not chained to it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just did have that thought the other day. I was like, if I want to stop, I actually can't really because... I'll have to be like, yeah, it didn't work out.
And you cannot admit that.
Yeah.
I have to wait until all my family are dead.
And then I can finally stop.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's the answer.
And my middle brother's only 3 years older than me as well. So he could be...
At 75, you can finally turn to teaching.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's going to happen. I love it. Yeah. Okay. For someone who's so young, you're very busy on Amazon. This is quite unusual. Do you have a bank account and everything at 14 years old?
Yeah, I guess so. I think I just discovered it early as well. I was quite an early internet adopter.
Uh-huh.
So I remember age 12 when I knew about Wikipedia, but none of my peers or teachers really did, were even aware of it.
Nice.
So I just remember early history homework.
Oh.
Copy, paste, remove hyperlinks.
I mean, I love it. That's the holy trinity of the exam cheat. Yeah. Copy, paste, remove hyperlinks.
And my teacher being like, Mark, this is probably the best thing I've ever read. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It took me hours.
Please tell me that's how you got to university. Which university did you get to?
I went to Cambridge.
You went to Cambridge?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, you cheated your way to Cambridge.
Cheated
we have
my...
our first headline yeah. news grab from the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you do comedy at Cambridge then?
I didn't for my undergrad. I didn't get into it. And then actually my parents both passed away around that time. And then my dad passed away in my third year. And I was staying to do a master's. And then I was like, oh, do you know what? Quite, you know, life's too short. Yeah. So on and so forth. And so I came back for my master's and decided to, yeah, like just get into it, and I loved it, and kind of did some footlight stuff and that kind of thing. And
okay.
then when I moved to London, I was like, great, well, let's try the open mic scene and that kind of thing. Yeah.
And then it began.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fuck, Mark, so your mum and dad died while you were at uni?
Yeah, my mum died when I was doing my A-levels when I was 17. And then it was quite like weird. My mum genuinely died 2 weeks before my A-levels, and then my dad died 2 weeks before my finals.
Okay. And how much dispensation did you get? I mean,
I didn't. Not that
come
I
know, on.
But I didn't accept any. The only dispensation I was able to get was like, you can just delay these if you want.
Yeah.
And I was both times, I was like, I don't really want to delay these. Like, I just want to get fucked up with my friends after the exams.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to do them.
Mm.
And by the second time, I was like, frankly, it would actually be off-putting if a parent didn't die in the run-up to these major exams.
If you suddenly decided to do a PhD, yeah, your siblings are going to shit themselves.
That's literally what. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Mark, yeah. That's really traumatic.
Yeah, well, it was.
Not ideal.
Not ideal. It was quite traumatic, but... in a way, like, I mean, not every cloud, but...
I love how posh people deal with it. Well, you know, yes, it was sad, but these things happen. And, you know, much like when the labs go, we just get a new one, or when the Land Rover exhaust fails. I'm making light of it, because what I did, my dad died when I was 13, and I just sort of... I was back at school within 3 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you do have a lot of, you know... That word added to the Oxford Dictionary, 5 years ago, bounce back ability or whatever.
Ugh.
Yeah, grim.
Ugh.
Grim. But when you are young, I think you're just like programmed to be able to. But I didn't think that like wallowing or whatever would, I thought that like delaying any of them 6 months, whatever, I would end up just not doing it. Or do you know what I mean? I'd just be worse.
Yeah.
So I did them. And, but yeah, definitely after my dad died, I think my dad had like a, bit of a quote unquote midlife crisis or whatever when he was like 50 and decided to kind of semi-abandon his career in sort of consultancy,
right.
Business consultancy, and decide that he had discovered the location of Odysseus's birthplace.
Please.
So
are you kidding?
I'm not. Type my dad's name into Google.
Are you kidding?
So it's Robert Bittlestone.
I mean, is this because you're very good on Wikipedia and
it's not even it.
So hang on, Robert Bittlestone.
Robert Bittlestone.
Yeah.
And then hopefully Odysseus Unbound, the project will come up.
Oh, wow. Odysseus Unbound. So...
So nuts.
Just, he had the original idea for the location of Homer's Ithaca on Palike, the Western Peninsula.
So nuts.
Wow. Oh, yes, he looks like you.
Do you think so?
Look at Dad. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he does. Oh, my God. Wait, so he's working in finance? Or
yeah,
no, or consultancy?
Yeah, he was running a company. He started a company... and sort of business software consultancy. And then, yeah, kind of 50, he sort of, age 50, he just did this massive kind of about turn, 180 really.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I definitely do remember getting the feeling from him that like, actually this, I mean, as mental, as insane as it was, this maybe like had been his calling, and he actually kind of wishes he loved the classics and wishes he had actually kind of devoted his life to it. And then I do remember my mum, like before she passed away, being like, I fucking worked I can swear, right?
Yes, you can.
People always ask that on podcasts after.
Yeah, I should think so. That's fine. I enjoy editing, so don't worry about it. Yeah, if you could also defame a few people.
Libel.
Yeah, exactly. Just libel it right up.
Yeah, my mum, you know, definitely complained, you know, when she was ill that she had worked for like, not in a bitter way, but she'd worked for like 25 years as the head of HR in my dad's company.
Wow.
She had been like, yeah, to be honest, that wasn't really what I wanted to do either. But it wasn't like they wished that, you know, they had wasted their lives. They had lovely times with us and lots of great parts of their lives. But I guess I just was like 20 or whatever, 21. And I was like, oh, do you know what? Let's give something a try now instead of getting to 50 and then being like,
yes,
I'm going to, find out where Odysseus lived.
Wow. there's a sort of bookish Indiana Jones vibe to it.
Yeah.
Is he just looking for, is he on a beach looking for like a blind siren or like, do you know what I mean? Like, how do you follow the academic pursuit of that? That just feels like insanely huge to take on.
Yeah. I mean, the origin of it was that he was...
He was on a holiday in Greece.
Yeah. I mean, my dad was like a very, 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 very bright guy.
Mm.
But also very like a very intellectual guy.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we're all like into sport and stuff. But anyway, he used to like read us the Odyssey as kids. Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
God.
And his way into it was like, he's reading it and it describes like the birthplace of its titular character as on the island furthest west out to sea of the Ionian Islands.
Oh, okay.
And if you know anything about the modern day Ionian Islands, of which like Kefalonia and Itharchy are two, Ithaca is the easternmost.
Right.
So he was like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's going on here? And then he just conjectured that actually modern day Kefalonia has a peninsula that used to be an island off to the west.
Right. Right. Yeah. But does it involve getting a spade and going and digging to see if you can find some sort of evidence?
All of that. In fairness, he put together this quite impressive coalition of like classicists and geologists and got this Dutch oil drilling company, Fugro, sponsored it, and they went on a big dig, and there was a lot of this old book. And
that is a separate thread of podcast, isn't it?
Took over our lives for like a decade. It was nuts.
Yeah. It's like, it's a sort of academic version of My Dad Wrote a Porno, isn't it?
Yeah, really? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, except, yeah, that has led to a sort of...
Had some riches, and they did actually strike oil.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than just dig a hole.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing, cool. Amazing. Nice. All right, okay, fine. So, your dad went crazy, and...
and then died. That's this period.
Mate, that is a great Edinburgh show waiting to happen right there. Amazing. Right, we're going to take a break for some adverts now on My Mate Bought a Toaster. We are going to be back in a few minutes' time, but just as a trigger warning on the way, we are going to be talking around and about the issue of suicide. So if that's something, frankly, you don't fancy having in your ears today, then you might want to miss the next half of the show. If you're okay with that and you're up for listening to more, then I recommend it. It's a fascinating chat. It's a moving chat. And also, later on in the show, there are some extremely funny moments. It gets very rude towards the end. Strap in, which is a pun. You'll see. So, look, let's move on, right? We're going to move into 2010 now.
Cool.
Mark. And again, plenty of orders. A Tottenham home shirt. Here we go.
Nice.
We have got Sing Star.
Classic
stuff.
Classic karaoke stuff.
Yeah. The handmade leather journal. A nice leather journal.
Wow.
Did you keep notes? Did you write a journal?
Probably, yeah, I guess so. I think, again, this is, we're mining quite a sad period of my life. So
great, that's what we love on this show, man.
That was
if you need to cry,
exactly.
Please do. It goes mad on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think this is when my mum would have been diagnosed, and so I was sad about that.
Oh, God, Mark.
So I'd bought a leather journal to keep up with that. But leather's a bit pretentious for that kind of thing.
Well, it is.
My thoughts are important.
Yeah, yeah. So how old were you when your mum got diagnosed then?
So I was 16.
And where does this fit in the timeline of your dad deciding to go and find Odysseus's?
Well, so my dad probably decided to do that around 2003.
Wow, okay.
2003-04. And then my mum got ill in like 2010 and then passed away basically 12 months later in 2011.
Right.
And my dad basically gave up work and the Greek project when my mum got ill.
Wow.
To kind of look after her and try and...
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And so previous to that, very straightforward.
Yeah.
And then suddenly... Gosh.
Yeah, yeah, sort of a pretty crazy period. And then kind of my dad... I mean, I guess in quite a sweet way, had been super in love with my mum, so just kind of fell off a cliff psychologically after she died and then eventually took his own life in 2015.
Your dad took his own life?
He did,
oh
yeah.
My gosh, Mark.
So, so this is why I fucking needed that jerk.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, that's... it's okay. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
God. That's really... That's
as
really...
you say, a couple of Labradors on the farm.
Yeah. We'll reboot. We'll get some more. Yeah. Have you talked about this much in terms of, like, obviously, it's a bit of a reach to say, yeah, did you bring it to your comedy? But, like, how do you begin to process that and use that when you're off at uni and stuff and starting out in your life, your adult life?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, early on... when I started doing comedy, I did a couple of completely in batshit shows, called Pity Laughs, and then another one with a co-conspirator, and they were nuts, but I think quite cathartic. I mean, I they weren't sad shows about my parents being dead; they were generally comedy shows about about their deaths.
Yeah,
but
it's that you have a right to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
As the person who it happens to,
exactly. And I think it was a fun like way into comedy and stuff, but like, you know, in like a 20-minute club set or whatever, I've got some, you know, some fun jokes, if you will, about them being dead.
Again, we talked about it earlier on. We were talking about Friends and, you know, the sort of lovely warmth of Friends, and we sort of Britishize it. But that is our comedy is driven by that. It's always it's gallows humour. That is what we do very, very well, and it is very therapeutic.
Yeah, completely.
Like it works.
Yeah, you have to, I think.
Unless you do the material and no one laughs, which case you think that this is just therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally what's happening.
For me, yeah, yeah.
16th of March, 2011, a grass skirt, multicoloured fancy dress costume.
This was some sort of music competition at school.
Yes, I can see elsewhere. There's a lot. Oh, hang on, there's loads here.
Yeah.
Yeah, bracelets, headbands, face paint.
Yeah, we did CeeLo Green.
Mm-hmm.
You know his song "Fuck You" / "Forget You."
Forget You. Yeah.
On the radio edit.
Mm-hmm, of course. Yeah.
Don't know why we went Hawaiian. Mm. That doesn't feel very culturally.
Yeah, there's some appropriation going on there. I'm not sure we were as sensitive then.
Yeah.
I don't think we believed Hawaii was a real place.
No, quite.
With real people.
I don't know,
that's your excuse you can go for.
I don't know who that's more offensive to, the people of Hawaii or CeeLo Green. Either way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really nice. You're spraying out the offence there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just grabbing at stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, either way, it was a good... good performance.
But you don't strike me. What's interesting about your manner is that you're quite sort of, you know, you're not a big loud shouty like show off like I certainly was as a kid all the time. You seem quite measured, but then do you get on stage and you go wild? What happens?
I think I can be quite center of attention-y in groups, for sure.
Really? How do you mean, in terms of holding court with stories or?
Yeah, that kind of thing. I mean, definitely as well as a kid, I think I always wanted to be the center of attention.
Yes.
I would like act out and do, you know, stuff to make myself the centre of attention.
What was your go-to? What was the technique?
I don't know, but like, for example, like if I'd be in the playground, if I wasn't getting enough attention, I'd just like run and jump in the bin and
lovely
like
stuff.
Roll around.
He's a bit, we've got a bin jumper.
We've got a bin jumper.
Bin jumper in the back playground. I mean, all kids need to have their go-to how to get attention.
Mm.
I would sing. So no one could talk. So I just sing so loudly at the dinner table and everyone have to listen to me sing. Terrible singer. There was always something you could do to get attention. It's a very important tactic.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get on stage as a stand-up or as a performer and you're like, oh, now I've got their attention.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
I need some content.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I think also, I'm sure you found this as well, but as the youngest of four, like, definitely always like around the meal table and just in the house, like it was a competition to make everyone laugh.
Yes, classic.
And generally the fastest way to do that was by saying something quite mean about
absolutely
someone else around the table.
Yeah.
And then I think for me, a lot in comedy, a lot of the, you know, the time I've been doing it has been like trying to harness that like aggressive energy in a way that works, because most of the time it doesn't if you're just like too aggressive or too mean. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, not trying to relearn, but yeah, I think you're like, oh, that'll work really well on stage, but then the audience are like, oh no, that's just horrible.
It's just very cruel.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe there should just be gigs for people who have a very, very cruel sense of humour.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you'd say that like the way Jimmy Carr certainly does stand up now. He's just, but then there's something, he's not cruel. He's more brash and says the taboo.
Yeah,
there's something about cruelty that's a slight difference.
Yeah,
and I know exactly what you mean. There is a family dynamic that is, get to the cruelest thing as quickly as possible and you win the prize.
Totally, totally. Yeah, yeah.
And whoever can do that, that's it. But then as you get older, you're like, if I keep doing that, I'm going to go crazy. Like, yeah, it's a horrible way to live, to have that in your brain all the time. So it's almost like a sort of dark passenger that you sometimes draw on, but you have to disentangle yourself from it, because otherwise it's a horrible inner narrative to have.
Yeah, yeah.
That really resonates. Here we are, June 2011, on death and dying, on grief and grieving, on life after death.
All makes sense.
Okay. Were they any
it's my
good?
My grief era.
Yeah, it's your grief era. Exactly. Everyone's got one.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you haven't, it's coming, which, yes, you're right, does sound like a threat. Life after death, what are we thinking? Yes or no?
I can't quite remember these, but I'm... Oh, sorry, am I into Life After Death?
Yeah, no. You bought the book by Elizabeth...
Kubler-Ross.
Very... Yeah. People remember the...
Yeah, yeah.
This is On Life After Death, a collection of inspiring essays with frank and compassionate advice for those dealing with terminal illness or the death of a loved one, from the pioneering author of other books on death and dying and grief and grieving.
That book, and she's done some other ones. It's very comforting. It's about people, who are dying or with people who are dying.
Yeah.
And it isn't like preachy or whatever about the idea of a life after death. But I guess always like connecting through books and literature to people who have gone through similar stuff.
It helps.
Is helpful, isn't it?
Yeah. What about you, though? Do you believe in life after death?
I don't personally, no.
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 See, I don't. And then I see one of the attached books to this product is Yes, Pets Do Go to Heaven.
Oh my God, sorry.
It's straight in the basket.
around this time, this was so funny. After my dad died, I was when I started doing comedy, I quite quickly... I fell into a double act, as you do. A lovely guy called Hayden. Yeah. Shout out if you're listening. He's a civil servant.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So he's going well for him then? Really nice.
Yeah, he's smashing it.
He's doing there's some funny stuff going on there right
lovely
now.
Lovely life. His mom got me a book called Everyone... I also got a dog. She got me a book called Everyone Died, So I Got a Dog. I was like, this isn't even on the nose. This is the nose. This is what I've done.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
You are mental.
That is why we have this cruel, very on-the-nose sense of humour. So I love it.
So funny. So funny.
I love it. But people are scared around you. Like, this is becoming an episode of Griefcast now, but people are scared around you. People don't want to talk about it. People don't want to ask you questions about it. I remember going back into school after my dad had died.
Yeah.
It must be the same for you, especially with your dad taking his own life. Like, it is so terrifying a topic. And obviously, I'm not trying to make it about the people around you.
Yeah,
but it's so hard to know what to say.
Yeah, it's also kind of cool. It's like this cool thing. It's this edgy thing about me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank God, I'm finally interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's nothing edgy about me other than this. So
but that makes you very edgy.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Yeah. Like my dad's Kurt Cobain. You know
what I mean? Wow. That is your Insta biog.
Yeah,
my dad's Kurt Cobain. Oh, my God. Vitamins B and C and D. Get it for myself, for my health, on the cheap. Gotta stay in shape, but I'm so lazy. Prime online, next day delivery. You can see you've got structure and routine on your life, Mark, because you've bought the Wild Sling Solo, a one-man water balloon launcher.
Yeah, classic. Mm-hmm. That's classic. Yeah, that's it. That was, I have a very good mate called Spence, civil servant.
God, all your friends are the man.
You literally.
It's unbelievable. You're the weird friend of everyone else. They've all gone major conformers.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're the one they all talk about. Oh, no, my friend Mark is interesting. I'm not interesting, but Mark does weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're launching, why were you launching?
Well, he had a room just like overlooking, it was just like accessible if you were walking past.
Great.
And I used to lob, as a policy, whenever I walked past, he would always have it open, particularly in the summer. As a policy, I would lob stuff through. if I couldn't find anything else, like manure from the flower bed, always. One time, this was actually amazing, I lobbed like a fruit pot that I found just on the wall, like semi-decaying fruit, and it hit. It was the most amazing throw I've done in my entire life. The lid was slightly open, it hit the side and flipped up in such a way that it sprayed mango, melon, pineapple. He was at his desk like working on an essay, and I heard this scream.
Oh my God.
And it covered him and his room in like decaying sticky fruit.
You do know that life does not get any better.
Yeah.
That is the purest happiness you'll ever feel.
It was just, I just was like, this is truly as good as it gets. And he always kept a glass of water next to the windowsill so that he could throw it on me. But obviously I'd always be away before he could. Like, it didn't work out. It didn't work.
Is he on the ground floor, or is this some crazy fifth floor lob?
It was like second floor.
That's pretty good skills,
though. Still not bad.
Risky for the people at the windows as well, then.
Yeah, I didn't really care that much about the fallout there. I was a bit of an arsehole generally in my first year.
Of course. Hey, your mum died.
Exactly.
Mate, dined out on my dad died dish.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that was an endless buffet. Whoa. My dad died.
Exactly.
I can be an arsehole.
I'd pull that out again, particularly with something like history. If I just be, yeah, if they were like, you still haven't had it in your course, I'd be like, guys, like.
Sorry to say.
Yeah, remember.
Yeah.
The water pistols and so on, we're in a sort of escalating war with that.
Lovely.
Mate.
Chucking things around. It's just brilliant. Yeah. This is nice as well. The 31st of March, you've got a realistic dong, a 6-inch with suction base flesh. It's a penis.
It's a penis. That there. Would have been... So this is... I was a closeted gay at this period.
Closeted?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that doesn't really accord with... So this would have been in my...
What's gay about that? I don't see... Why would you say, if you get that, if my friend or son got that in the post, I'd be like, yeah.
Get about that.
That's
absolutely fine. Yeah. So, yeah, this would have been sort of, early on.
So is this a sex toy?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, wow, okay. Sturdy dong with strong suction cap for him and her.
There you go, yeah.
Wow.
I think it was in that, but I was also, certainly in my first year at uni, like kind of cosplaying as quite a, well, not cosplaying as toxic, I was toxic, but sort of cosplaying as quite a toxic straight guy. I was like in the rugby and football team and drinking society and stuff.
Were you having straight relationships?
I was in a quote unquote straight relationship with my now best friend, Hannah, but we didn't like have sex and stuff.
Okay.
I didn't really like that.
Yeah, no.
As you can imagine.
Yes.
But yeah, we were like going out or whatever for like a couple of months.
How did you declosetify, to create a word?
Well, I actually didn't even come out this until my third year, you know, which is nuts. I went through like 2.5 years, nearly 3 years, at like a very queer institution, Cambridge. Right. Do you know what I mean?
It's not
like, but I think I just fell in step with like the kind of, I don't know, friends and like vibes I'd had at school. And I love all of my school and uni friends, but it was like quite like sport and drinking and like... focused or whatever. And
but didn't you get pissed, like, if you were with your rugby mates, aren't you drunk at the end of the night and you're like, I like him, what happens?
Yeah, but I guess I was very closeted. I was like, I'm not gonna tell anyone or whatever.
It must have been really hard.
Yeah, I think hiding it was tough.
Fuck!
Particularly my mum had died and all that sort of lots.
And did your dad ever know?
No, I mean, not explicitly, but then the way I did come out was I had my friend Becca had this beautiful friend called Sean at a different college who was gay, and I really fancied him. And I remember like engineering, finding him tickets to this night. This was in the autumn term of my third year.
Yeah.
And then just telling him, just like at the bar. And then we ended up dating. So it was at that point. I started telling people.
That must have been so cool. You could finally...
Yeah, that was great. That was great. But I asked... my dad was still living in like a family home, but it would just be me and him when I'd come home. But my dad was very unwell. Like, he had totally withdrawn into himself. Like, he wouldn't even acknowledge me really when I came home, because he was just very, not in like a mean way, but he just had
Of course. Yeah.
So I said to my siblings, like, look, can like Sean stay at the family house? And they were like, yeah, but maybe like, you know, dad's like, maybe don't, not like, don't tell him you're gay in the sense of like, he won't react. Well, it was a little bit of that. But it was also like, you're not going to get, I wouldn't have got any reaction. Like, he wasn't.
I just like, you know, the idea that at this stage you've got the plastic dick and you've got your Hawaiian skirt, the makeup's on, you're about to walk in and tell
boyfriend.
Him. And your boyfriend's there and your sibling's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Before you go in there, so, and you're like, what?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm ready to go. I'm going to tell him. This is how I'm telling him.
Yeah.
Fuck. So you're told just don't, just leave it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was kind of like, like, my dad has like lost the love of his life and like been psychotically depressed for 3 years. I don't really think finding out his youngest son is gay is really going to shift the dial in either direction, but whatever. So I mean, I didn't tell him, but like, my boyfriend did stay in the house for a week, but I did just tell him it was a friend. So who knows? But unfortunately, he passed away. Like, I never saw him again after that.
Oh my gosh.
Holiday.
Wow. As you say, he was so withdrawn, you don't even.
Yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't have got any, like, you know, enjoyable or horrifying reaction to telling him I was gay. It just would have been like, oh, fine. But he, you know, he wasn't. I mean, I would stay in, I would be in the house with him for like 10 weeks over the summer, and we'd see each other twice, you know, because he would, it was.
I mean, I'm just thinking, wow, big house.
Yeah, quite.
That's awful. God, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Mate, I mean, it's also, you know, you're telling me these things, these serious, big, heavy things, and in front of me on my iPad, it's just a massive array of cock. I feel like I'm at a really serious point. I'm trying to keep eye contact with you, but part of me is just going, wow, that does look like a real one.
That's veiny.
They make very good veins, don't they?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, this isn't something I've necessarily looked at before. Silicon dildo, 32 centimetres.
It's a shame you have that app that deletes the history, because that could really inform on your future, on your cookies going forward.
It would be amazing if my algorithm outed me. That would just be incredible. Also worth looking at the reviews as well. Lovely. It took a long time to get to me through Amazon. But holy crap, it was worth it. 6 inches is quite small. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Gosh.
Reviewer, whose name I won't use.
Yeah, yeah.
That's unfair. That feels, you know, maybe you're just a bit cavernous.
I mean, it depends, I guess. You know, I was using it as an entry level.
Hang on. Here we go. Quite literally. Come on. Too good.
Come on.
Oh, that's a me sort of joke. You've done a me sort of joke. 6 inches is quite small. So if you're an experienced anal user, then I advise getting at least 8 inch with a bigger girth. But this was great for a new blow/anal user. The suction cup. I love the mundanity. The suction cup seems pretty good. You just have to make sure you push it down. Well, I can think of a way to do that, to remove all the air, as you would with anything. It shipped very discreetly too. If it didn't ship discreetly.
It's the earnestness of the earnestness of reviews like this. So funny to me.
6 inch rubber ding dong. Looks well made, but will update once it's been tested. Ha 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 ha. I don't get that. Is that a joke? Why don't I get that joke?
I don't know. I don't get it either.
Nice size, poor quality material. It's a good toy. Nice size.
It's a good toy.
It's a good toy.
So
this is like we're on the sort of top gear of dildos.
It's a good toy.
Top gear for dildos. Instead of presented by dildos.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Much higher quality than the price suggests. First impressions of the product are you get exactly what you see in the description. However, I did not expect the item to be made of such a high quality material. Imagine having those thoughts as you're... ramming it in. Oh, yeah.
Also, material. They're just like, it's just like sort of spongy rubber. I wouldn't have.
And then someone at the bottom has gone, great for pranks. Someone's in the closet. Yes, this is pranks, banter.
Yeah.
It's a banter cock. Patreon.com/toasterpod. As ever, your orders start to go up, as we get to 2015. Yeah, you're definitely out now. The easy anal syringe, clean stream, rectal douche. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Clean as a whistle. As a whistle.
Definitely out.
$5.98. Worth it.
Yeah, it's
definitely
brilliant,
worth it. Look, this is interesting. You bought The Old Boys, The Decline and Rise of the Public School. That is a huge, huge topic to get into here. Obviously, I went to public school. You can tell clearly you did. in a very quick, concise way, because I'm not a fan of them. I would never send my kids there. Even if I had the money, I would absolutely not send my boys there. How do you feel about them?
Yeah, definitely. Shouldn't exist.
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Terrible, toxic, have led to... I mean, it's one tiny example, right? Just the know-it-all, self-obsessed, narcissistic breed of people it creates have led this country to its own destruction. But also, no one should have... I mean, I've worked in lots of schools over the last 5 years, teaching and tutoring small groups, and like... No one should have the upbringing I had if kids have the upbringing some of those kids have. You know what I mean? It's just mental.
Yeah.
You know, they've worked in schools where like there just isn't, they've run out of a paper budget for that month, for that term.
I don't want to get into it because I literally we are running out of time and there's so much fun. I'm literally looking at hilarious stuff. But the thing that struck me recently was the someone complaining about a certain school was going to have to stop using embossed paper.
Yeah, it's fucking mental.
And my kid's school can't afford a maths teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah, that's it. These schools and parents at these schools live in a total world unto themselves.
Great stuff. Excellent, excellent. I'll get some complaints. I wonder how my listeners feel about that, actually. Anyway, all right, good. So that's that dispatched.
Yeah, that's that one done.
Yeah.
I think we listened to arguments on both sides.
2015, look, the Lonely Planet Singapore, he's off. He's travelling, he's heading for Singapore. Yes. What was going on?
Went to, Indonesia and Singapore, Hong Kong with my then boyfriend, Sean. Shout out, civil servant.
Are you unbelievable. This is, but it was Sean the first one?
Yeah.
First, okay.
Exactly, yeah. Lovely guy.
And this is after you've left uni?
After I'd done my undergraduate that summer.
Okay. This is the summer your dad passed away.
Exactly, May, and then after I did my finals, I went to Indonesia, and then when I was in Indonesia, I was walking around this Buddhist temple complex in Java.
Brilliant.
Kill me now.
Brilliant.
And I was like, I don't want to fucking do some sort of soulless finance job. No offense to people. Well, I've just used the word soulless.
some offense. Yeah. You can't please everyone.
Yeah, exactly. I'm already like, doing a master's, why don't I like try and do comedy when I get back?
Right, okay.
And then, audition for like a comedy play the week I got back.
And away you went.
Yeah, and it's funny, I was breaking up with Sean at the time and he was like, we need to have a chat. And I was like, I've got this audition for the comedy play. Mm. And he was like, bless him, really sweet. He was like, look, go and do that and then we'll chat. So he did have my best interests at heart.
Yeah.
Got the play, dumped him.
We have got 29th of January 2017, Mark. We have got the Ann Summers Flavoured Lubes set.
Nice.
I mean, great. Nothing like Flavoured Lubes.
That's good stuff. I've still got those. Weirdly, okay. I'll tell you for why.
Go on.
In that autumn and Jan, Feb, I fell in love with this boy called Joe.
Okay.
Shout out, actor. So
okay,
fantastic. Finally.
Fine, it's not a civil servant or someone who works in finance.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Finally. And bought those.
Yes.
And then we, broke up, whatever, ended things in quite dramatic circumstances. So
love the drama.
I
tears?
Know. Yeah. Oh God, I was distraught. It took me years to recover from this.
Oh,
one.
He was that one.
Yeah. I was just didn't leave my room for about a month, blah, 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 blah. Those were frozen in ice, effectively. I mean, not literally, because I was like, I'm definitely going to get back together with him.
Right. Have those ready.
Because we had bought them. We were like, oh, this will be really cool.
Wow. Some people, couples maybe buy like plants together or, you've got some Ann Summers flavoured lubes and they were ready. So you sat in your room by yourself with the flavoured lubes by your bed, just waiting for him to come back.
Yeah, yeah. But he never came
back. Oh God, it's happening again.
Yeah. So I genuinely finally, like this year was like, I don't think
he's coming back.
He's coming back. I think I can probably crack these out.
Wow. Yeah. So they got used.
Yeah.
I mean, the PASAC thing to do would have been to send him half.
Send him. Yeah.
It's the strawberry one and the chocolate one. I'm keeping caramel.
He had long since blocked me on all forms of social media. And stuff,
nice.
So,
Classic. It's a very neat way to split up. Yeah. What else have we got here? Yeah, lovely silicone butt plug. Very nice. Close secret men's athletic supporter performance jock strap.
Okay, nice.
Lovely, lovely enema douche. Another, oh look, interesting. We can see we're moving on here because you've gone for the 8-inch realistic dong. You've really been practicing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, no longer entry level, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if we get to 2024, is it going to be like...
It's going to be 15, yeah.
And then 2030, trips to the doctors. Okay, fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Surely there's a plateau, really, isn't there?
Photo frames, lots of photo frames. That's interesting.
Yeah, family photos.
Yeah, what do you put in your photo frames? And just all the family? And
yeah.
Do you have pictures of your dad and mum around?
Yeah, mum and dad on my wall.
That's nice. Okay, all right, here's what we're going to do.
It is nice. It can make a like a one-night stand get quite deep quite quickly. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I'll be like, oh, is that your parents? And I'll be like, yeah. And I'll be like, oh, what do they do? I'm like, oh, they passed away. And they'll be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, do you know what? Let's park that.
Or if they're feeling really sympathetic. Yeah. Do you know what really helps? With grief?
Do you know what they love? An 8-inch.
I mean, it is a bit of a moment though, isn't it? When you were at university and I had a picture of my late father and it was quite a formal picture and he looked like Austin Powers, my dad. Mm. And the girl came back once and went, is that a Tory MP?
Amazing.
On your shelf. She genuinely asked that. Like, and I was like,
yeah, it's my local MP.
Yeah. Alan Clark, that one. Anyway, where should we do it? What are you thinking? Like, but it is, I always find it weird. Here's a question I've never asked before. Bringing someone back to your room when there's pictures of your family looking at you.
Yeah, yeah, it is jarring. And I have lots of pictures of like family and stuff.
Do you just, as a sort of pre-sex ritual, just go around and turn them all over? Not tonight, mummy. No, just talk to them.
I turn them all to face me even more explicitly.
Just move them closer. Yeah. Sorry, mummy likes to watch. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it never occurs to me, but I guess it's probably quite jarring for them.
Oh, well, that's their issue. Okay, look, we've got to skip on ahead. There's so much stuff and we're going to come crashing into the present day.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
So now here we find you in a different era with a new era, the Minky 3-tier plus clothes era. Congratulations.
Nice, yeah.
You've got a lovely Minky. Yeah. Bought that very recently. You bought a waterproof rain jacket.
Classic.
Some vacuum bags.
Yeah. Yeah.
Putting stuff in storage.
This is really 30-coded, isn't it?
This is very 30-coded.
Yeah, God.
But this is what we discover. I really, really feel it today. And we always feel it on this show. And it's become a cliche. But the journey I feel we've been on, when we look back at you buying friends for your brothers, and you were this, I assume, closeted at the age of 14, even more so.
Totally.
And all the things that have happened to you. And now we have the joy and the happiness of looking after yourself and nesting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I love that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's important stuff. And we can laugh at how dull it is or whatever. But there's no greater satisfaction than taking all your clothes that you're not going to wear for a while because of the seasons, putting them in a bag and then attaching a Hoover.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. In fairness, those vacuum bags are just literally for the Henry Hoover.
Oh, so you do have they're Henry specific.
They are for the they're the filter bags.
They're not the clothes storage bags.
Clothes storage bags.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a shame.
Really sorry to
I really built quite a lot.
You ruined the image that you have.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to sort of vacuum pack this whole episode.
Yeah, I saw it. I was considering letting you run with it.
Just let me run with it. Let me go with it. No. Again, I have to burst your balloon because it's what we do.
These are the filter bags. As any listeners who use, you know, vacuums, Henry Hoovers will know the filter bags have got a lifespan. You've got to replace them every now and then.
Yeah. I mean, how often do you clean a filter?
Not often enough is the answer to that.
Never. I get a new Hoover. That's what people do. Outrageous. Outrageous. So look, here you are. And there's quite a weird sort of thread here.
Yeah, I thought this might come up when I just...
Yeah, you really should have thought this through. Look, I can see that we're going into winter because you've bought the compact bright light therapy lamp.
Yes, good.
So this is for the old seasonally adjusted.
Yeah.
So you bought these, 31st of October. I mean, I think that is even the day the clocks went back.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Has it worked? How are you feeling?
Definitely a little bit, taking a vitamin D every morning.
And there's vitamin D here as well.
Exactly. And then half an hour with the sad lamp every day.
It's awful that it's called the sad lamp.
I know. But because this autumn, I feel like I was reading about this fucking weird weather thing we're in, has been particularly great.
Oh, we were in a gloom anticyclonic despair cycle or something.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Mm. And I've really felt it. I think it also like coincided with, you know, I did my like debut at the Fringe this year, and okay. you build up to that for like a few years, right?
And of course.
And so there's like a natural like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
a bit of that, like, but and then it being incredibly grey as well. I've been like, yeah. fucking hell.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really important that you buy things to try and make you feel better. So you bought vitamin D, seasonally adjusted disorder lamp, and you bought 100 years of lynchings. That's right, he's laughing at lynchings.
I saw that coming down the track.
The lynching, the epic courtroom battle that brought down the Klan. That's the yeah. latest thing you've bought. How the hell, when we bookend the show, which is what we do, we say, oh, look, the first thing you bought is Friends, and the last thing you bought is 100 years of lynchings. And I'm supposed to make this into a story about you.
Well, you know, speaking of Friends, the Ku Klux Klan.
I see the contacts at private school. That makes sense. So why are you doing this? Are you researching something or just interested?
I'm very interested in...
You did history.
Exactly, yeah. I think lots of us are, but I'm just interested generally in like the worst periods of humanity, the worst things we've done. So I did a lot of British imperialism, a lot of Jim Crow South,
right.
and quite a lot on the Holocaust. And so, yeah, I just find myself drawn back to those eras.
Yeah, yeah.
From a historical interest perspective.
Of course. All right, then, Mark.
In the way that, you know, Michael Gove had Mein Kampf on his...
yeah, that was sheer, pure history. That's all he was doing. Fucking hell. Well, you know, you are a misery tourist.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's fascinating. You're right. We're all drawn to that sort of stuff. To be honest, I'll lean into the sad lamp as a sort of chirpier end that, you're keeping a light on maybe. There's something there.
Something there.
Gigs going well. Edinburgh's done. You did brilliantly at Edinburgh. So now you're just back on the road doing gigs and out there.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm putting together a little tour for the spring, summer. Yeah,
excellent. Exactly. Okay.
Of the Edinburgh show that I just did.
Nice. Okay. Well, we'll put those dates on this because that's probably roughly when this will come out, I reckon.
Fantastic.
So we'll do that. Mark, your stuff on Insta is fantastic. You've got a brilliant following on Insta and it's thoroughly deserved.
Thank you.
When I showed the person who is upstairs making me a coffee, she said, who's coming in today? And I went, oh, this guy Mark. And I showed her your Insta and she went, oh, I love him.
Oh.
Nice, isn't it?
It's cool.
It's always
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
That. And I was like, oh, good. It's not, I'm getting a guest who people know.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Always
that's
nice.
Really cool.
Mark Bittlestone on what is it on the Insta and the TikTok?
Exactly that.
Mark, thank you very much for sharing so much. I feel like we've had all 12 inches today.
Yeah.
Mark, thank you so much for coming on. My mate bought a toaster.
Thanks so much for having me. I've had a great time.
Thank you so much to Mark Bittlestone for being a brilliant guest. Thank you for letting us dive into your history, and thank you for talking so honestly and openly and candidly about what is a really, really moving and at times heartbreaking story. Just a fantastic episode, and I really hope you enjoyed that. So go and give Mark a follow and let him know you've listened to the episode, and of course go and have a watch over on youtube.com/@mymatebottletoaster. We'll be back next week with more Amazon rooting around and general all-round nosiness. See you then. It's my mate. Whoa.